this episode is in fact brought to you by the good people at BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace and distribution site.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 27 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this journey to raise your productivity to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions,
episode 554.
Today, Ian asks,
what are your current thoughts on keeping a writing business independent of platforms, such as the possibility of becoming overly dependent on Amazon Kindle, Audible, Patreon, Drafted Digital, etc.? You've touched on aspects of this before, but the situation seems to keep changing, so at what point does it become worthy of a lot of consideration?
Well, the situation does keep changing, and for that reason, it's probably always worthy of a decent amount of consideration. In the last year, it's changed in a couple of directions that are almost diametrically opposite, at least from my point of view. The ebook market has consolidated, as we all figured it would, more or less exclusively around Amazon. They've got upwards of 90% of the market right now. And the audiobook market, Audible is still hanging on to their 80% share, but I'm starting to think that that's beginning to erode. My sales on other platforms have been creeping up for no obvious reason, and it's got to be because these other platforms are penetrating into market segments that Audible simply isn't reaching. But that said, I do expect that dominance to continue at least for the next couple of years. On the other hand, Amazon complex and the whole FANG complex, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, has definitely consolidated into a centralized, trust-like oligopoly, and that's got some rather unpleasant implications for content creation.
Before you get into that, what about marketing as a concern? You and I have talked about using Amazon Select for a limited time to roll out a new book, just a few months or whatever their exclusive period is, and then putting it wide.
That's a completely valid marketing move. I don't have a problem with that at all. I'm not sure what's going to be best for us with this big series that we're trying to figure out how to market, but time-limited exclusive promotions are a perennial good thing. It's you tend to build your market in the segment that is served by that retailer. But on the other hand, you're building your market in the segment that is served by that retailer. So, but that does play into what I was just about to say about the FANG consortium. What we've seen since it, and it's been coming since the erotica moral panic of 2011, is that as these companies, especially Google, Amazon, Facebook, because we market through Facebook, a lot of us, and also the payment processors like PayPal or MasterCard or whatnot, as they become choke points on the network with disproportionate market share, or in fact being near monopolies. Hello, plane.
Well, that's the first time we've been interrupted by a plane since leaving the Bay Area.
Amazing, isn't it? As they become so centralized, they become choke points on the network. And that means that sufficiently motivated people can ruin your business, especially if you are vested entirely in these choke points. This is a game theoretical problem, and I'm about to mention a number of names that are going to piss a lot of you off. And I know this because you listen to my show, and some of these names piss me off a lot. These are not people I like, but the game theoretics of the situation are fairly terrifying for any content creator or public figure. Here's how it works. There was outrage over pseudo-incest erotica in 2011 on Amazon and whatnot. Now, what pseudo-incest means is step-parents and step-children sleeping together, step-brothers and step-sisters sleeping together, i.e. not incest, but tickles that fetish. And we weren't even talking about erotica about underaged people, which is also not illegal. It's constitutionally protected because children aren't harmed in the production of it. That's different from child porn, where children are harmed in the production. Child porn is evidence of a crime. This is words on a page. They came for that. there was sufficient outrage. Someone wanted to make some headlines and make a name for themselves as a moral scold, and they did that successfully. It almost took down Smashwords, because Smashwords was making so much of its revenue from the erotica market. Amazon, Smashwords, whatnot, everybody purged their roles of this objectionable content and took down a lot of writers' careers in the process. But nobody really cared because it's kind of icky stuff anyway. And then we had sort of aftershocks with the bestiality panic when it came to shifter porn and everything. But that seemed to have died down as all the stuff that anyone could reasonably object to was in fact cleared away. And there were some voices at the time that were screaming things like, what about Lolita? It seems a little unfair that the big publishers in classic literature are getting a pass on stuff that they're punishing the little guys for. But that was the case. That happens when you're in a situation that is vertically integrated. Then, over the next few years, things were fairly quiet, the occasional moral panic and whatnot, and then in this last year, we've seen the beast start to get unleashed. Roosh V, the pickup artist, just had all of his stuff deplatformed from Amazon. Alex Jones was pulled from all the major platforms at the same time, which was obvious collusion between the various platforms. And we've seen dozens of other people left, right, and center either deplatform successfully or people have tried to deplatform and demonetize them from these platforms. And it's easy to do because they're choke points in the network. Here's what that means. And this is the part where it should terrify all of you and encourage you to diversify your marketing. That means that an ex-girlfriend or ex-boyfriend or ex-wife or ex-husband who is sufficiently motivated, a reader who is sufficiently offended, someone that you refused to let pick you up at a convention, someone who you had a bad relationship with years ago, someone who you had a business relationship with who wound up with the short end of the stick. Anyone who is sufficiently motivated can, either through selective quoting of the truth or through outright lies, and the proper amount of charisma can end your career by whipping up an outrage mob or by faking an outrage mob with a bot network and come after you. And as long as they can convince someone at one of these platforms that you are a problem who makes them look bad, they will turn off your money source, as MasterCard has done with various content providers. They'll delist your Patreon, as Patreon has done on occasion for the behavior of their content creators that was not conducted on their network. They'll turn off your PayPal. They'll get you pulled from Amazon. It takes those three parts. It takes a sufficiently outraged person for reasons that may or may not have anything to do with your professional work. It takes a type of outrage that they can whip up the mob about. And it takes someone at one of these companies saying, you know what, it's too much trouble dealing with this outrage mob. I just want to go to lunch. You get that combination and they can take your livelihood away.
And this might sound familiar. It might sound like a poem from the 1940s. First they came for the Jews, and I said nothing because I was not a Jew. Then they came for the gypsies, and I said nothing because I was not a gypsy. Then they came for the trades unionists, and I said nothing because I was not a trades unionist. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. That's the kind of thing that's being unleashed here, and fortunately we don't live in a society where we were likely to get thrown in jail for things we write. But there are enough choke points on the network now that anyone sufficiently motivated can ruin your career, your reputation, and your life. Constructing a network that is as free as possible from choke points seems to me to be good business.
So yeah, I think it is even more important to be diversified now, because the more choke points there are in your personal network, the more vulnerable you are to completely losing your career and your ability to publish. There are ways around that, but it gets complicated and you have to know a lot of legal stuff and it can get a bit expensive and you have to be willing to rebrand yourself a lot, which is exactly the situation that used to happen in vertically integrated New York publishing. The common problem here is vertical integration. And the more you allow yourself in any business situation to be the prisoner of vertically integrated monopolies and oligopolies, the less secure your long-term career is. That doesn't mean the money's bad. The reason that these arrangements are attractive is because that's where the money is. But you want to try to balance in your career building, the twin considerations of income and robustness. You want to be able to take advantage of the money that's on the table, but you don't want to do that at the expense of your ability to recover from the vindictiveness of someone near you or of someone who just dislikes you from afar. This is a huge problem, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. I expect, like I said, it's going to be a couple years before things start to die down. Hopefully it doesn't last longer than that. Most of the witch hunts and moral panics in this country have only lasted for 5 or 10 years, and we're a good ways into this one. So here's hoping that it follows historical trends. Anyway, sorry that answer was a little darker than you might have expected, but you asked. It's good to hear from you, Ian. I always love getting your questions. Thanks for sending it in, and I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2018 by J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2018 Artistic Whispers Productions. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.